A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows someday the last step will be taken.
step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in God, no matter come what may, for life eternal is in His hand. He holds the key that opens up the way that will lead me to that promised land. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer.
Let's pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that we can come and be assembled as Your church, so Father, to worship You. We pray, Father, that we'll do it in spirit and in truth. Father, we're so grateful for all the things that You do for us. We're thankful for the physical things that we have in this life. Father, we pray that we may use these blessings that You give us in such a way that will glorify Your name here on this earth. For the spiritual blessings that we have through Your Son, Jesus Christ, Father, indeed we are grateful for. Through them it will guide us and help us to have an eternal life with You someday. Thank You for the word that You've given us. Help us to study it, to put it in our hearts and live it in our lives, that we can be servants of Yours here and that we can be blessed in the hereafter. Thank You for the church that meets here. Father, we pray that You'll bless us and help us to grow and number and help us to grow spiritually, Father, that we can encourage those around about us to become Christians. Thank You for the health that we have, that we can be here, Father. We're mindful of those that are sick and cannot be here, and Father, we pray for them. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for our friends and our neighbors. They may be sick, that their health will improve and they can enjoy their normal walks in this life. Father, thank You for the country in which we live and for the freedoms that we enjoy. And at this time, Father, we pray that Your word can be inspiring and can lead us to help those that don't understand who You are and what we're about, who care not for the other people that are around them, but for their own selves. Father, we pray that this nation will look unto You for help and for guidance and not unto man's wisdom. We ask You to bless the United States, Father, and help us to keep it, because it is the beacon throughout the world. And Father, it is from here that many souls are saved. From Your citizens going there, and for Your loved ones, people that You love in the church, go out throughout the world. Help us, Father, to save this nation. We pray for the military that guards this nation against the aggression of others. We're thankful for the men and women that serve, and Father, we ask you to bless them and keep them from harm's way. For the first responders, Father, during this pandemic time, Father, we ask you to bless them in a special way that they can keep their health, that they can do the job that needs to be done, and we're thankful for their service. And we pray that you'll watch over them. Father, we can only say that we look to you for our guidance and help us that every day that we take a step that we can be encouraged by you to live a better life. Father, we realize that through our journey here on this earth that we have made mistakes, and Father, we'll probably make them again. We've prayed, Father, that you'll forgive us of these mistakes, and we'll pray, Father, for each mistake that we make along the way. And even today, Father, if there's sin in our lives, we ask you to forgive us. Strengthen us, help us to be better citizens in your kingdom. Amen. As we go through the rest of this service, Father, we look forward to gathering around your son's table to remember him. We're looking forward to a lesson from Brother Robert that will strengthen our spirit and help us through another week. And we ask your blessings upon him. For the men that have served today, we're grateful to them. And Father, we pray that you watch over us every day in our lives. Amen. Take care of us, Father. Help us to worship you as you would want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen.
Amen.
In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 370. 370.
Night with heaven pinion, brooded o'er the veil. All around was silent, save the nightingale's wail. When Christ the man of sorrows, in tears and sweat and blood, prostrate in the garden,
they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
Lord, we take his bread, represents our body, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Take his cup, represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll get back what was promised to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Lord, we take this hand and give back what the Lord has promised of our jobs with his church. Amen.
This morning. Today is July 5th, 2020, for taping purposes. If you would at this time, let's mark our song books at number 563. 563 will be our song of invitation. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 580.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wondrous wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, he shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass, he speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world, oh let me never forget that though the wrong seems all so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world.
of the idea in mind that God was seeking us this morning. In John chapter 4, beginning verse 23, the Bible says regarding men and activities that God seeks true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it says in verse 24, a very familiar verse, "For God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." God seeks true worshipers to worship Him. Can there be false worshipers? Can there be deceived worshipers? Yes. The brethren in Corinth and 1 Corinthians chapter 11 are told that they're eating and drinking condemnation to their souls as they partake of what the Lord's Supper should be by reassigning it in their minds that it's not the Lord's body and not the Lord's blood at all. And so they're partaking of it in such a way that they're eating and drinking condemnation to their souls. The Lord seeks true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth, for He is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That is not an option on our part. That is the command of our Lord as He was here upon this earth talking about how men were to worship the Lord. In the Bible, we fortunately have examples. You know, we had, some of us had our classes of regarding mathematics. We had some mathematical equations written out. And the written forms presented a problem for a lot of people who would just read there and their minds would be concentrating on this word and that word and this word and that word, and they not see the numbers and how you put them together. Some people could read just quickly and understand that and put the numbers down. But to help us, there was a little box at the bottom of the page or at the top of the page or sometimes on the side of the page. That little box was an example of what this worded pattern, this worded idea was. And we could look at that and see that this means right here that 88 minus 22 is 66. So we could come back to our document that tells us if you had 150 dozen eggs and you had 4 dozen eggs that had been sold out, how many eggs would remain in the package that you had? Well, if you had 150 of them minus the 4 dozen of them, then you'd have 146 packages of eggs still remaining. And you'd understand that that's the way in which you read that and the way in which you do a subtraction to it. Wonderful it is that God has placed in His holy word an example of worship in the New Testament. When we find this example of worship in the New Testament in 3 chapters of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and in chapter 12, 13, and 14, we find descriptions of prayers that we say, preaching that we hear, singing that we do, and we find an opportunity to be a people who follow the Lord's way as we bow before Him in the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11. And if we do not follow the reasoning of these examples that are given to us, we find ourselves in a number of different things that we should not be in. So our worship of God today, let it be understood that we can grow and be the people that God would have us to be if we follow His word and His will that so supports it, that tells us what it means that we do not eat and drink condemnation to our souls today, that we'll be people who eat of the Lord's Supper in reference to His body and drink in reference to His blood that was shed for us. When we think about the mission of the Lord's way in 1 Corinthians 11, we're talking about a way which Paul writes to them as he tells them that they are really, first off, misunderstanding the purpose of the Lord's Supper. He's saying that some of you just rush in and you leave others who have not yet arrived to be outside. And you go quickly to partake of the Lord's Supper, And as a result of that, you get it done and you're fixing to leave out by the time that they're just coming in. And he says, don't do this. This is hardly the way that you ought to consider the Lord's Supper. It's not something to be zipped into and zipped out of, and everybody else comes when you can, but to tarry on one another. And so as you worship together, partake of this bread and drink of this fruit of the vine. He says, tarry on one another. Wait on one another. Don't rush out and get away from one another. Some of the historians tell us that during that day and time, that they were eating as they came to the service, what they called and referred to as a love feast. They were eating their breakfast and their brunch and their lunch all at one time, and they were enjoying that. They were working during the course of the day, and in the evening time when they got together after work, they found themselves enjoying a supper time and a lunch time and a supper time together. And they were just quickly getting on to that. And thus it led into the fact that they would say, well, what next can we do? And they say, well, next is the bread for the Lord's body. And next is the fruit of the vine for his blood. Let's go ahead and do that too. And so they quickly rushed into that and partook of this in such a way that they found themselves eating and drinking condemnation to their soul. As we tarry on one another and wait on one another. And we do a little extra mode of that. Most of the time we leave the bread and leave the fruit of the vine in the foyer. Leave it there for those who had something to happen that they didn't get here in time. That they are here, but they didn't get here in time. And they can partake of his body and partake of his blood as well on that occasion. The idea of the love of this congregation in general for people and part of this community and part of the worship of God is to be commendable on our part. I really believe that this is a righteous thing to do and the righteous way to behave, not to rush on away and get through it and get done and get out. The idea is to be a person who bows before the Lord and remembers what his body did. What did his body do for us? As we partake of this bread, let us remember that our minds don't go to our shoes and don't go to our pants and to our dresses and go to the things that are around us, but our mind goes back to the body that Jesus had upon that cross between two thieves, bound by nails in his hand and in his feet. He suffered there. Isaiah says regarding this matter that he would bear our sins in his own body upon the tree. This bread represents our body of Jesus that was pierced by our sins. The bad words that we've said, the bad thoughts that we've entertained, the bad deeds that we've done, the ungodly way in which we looked at others, the hurtful manner in which we wish others to be harmed and rough treated, and no forgiveness to be offered for those who trespass against us. When those things are thought of, as we partake of the bread, we remember what Jesus' body did for us. And when we don't have those thoughts in mind, and the mannerisms of those thoughts entertained, then it's just bread to us. It's just done. It's just past. And I need a drink of the Lord's Supper. I need a drink of the fruit of the vine now. When the fruit of the vine comes to us, the blood of Christ, what thoughts should come to our mind as we drink this fruit of the vine? How much did the Lord intend for us to drink? He didn't say. He just said, partake of you all of it. All the disciples were partake of it. Every one of them there sitting with him. Even the one who would betray him was to partake of this. We're to remember the idea in mind that blood cleanses us from sin. Perish the thought that we should be people who find ourselves betraying the Lord as we live life from day to day. As we reflect on all week long, we found ourselves in vulgar words about the Lord, in vulgar thoughts about our fellow man, in vulgar ways in which we did. And what we think about is this blood that reaches back and cleanses us from our sins. This fruit of the vine represents the blood of Christ that reaches back and cleanses us, makes it as though it never happened, makes it as though it never were done, makes it clean from us, and we are cleansed once again. We find ourselves rejoicing in the fact that the body and the blood of Christ have caused us to think of now being forgiven of our sins as we live this life. Let us go forth in this day to practice a new way of life, new thinking about sin, and to resist it as much as we can, as long as we can during the course of this week. And if we find ourselves doing this, we'll have success at longer periods of time. And as a result, we'll be people who are faithful and true to God as we do this Lord's Supper, and it'll extend to us the Mondays and the Tuesdays and the Wednesdays. Now, if we find ourselves, however, thinking about only, it's a little bit sour today, it's a little bit warm today and too sweet, it's a little bit something else, is our mind upon the purpose of this blood? This fruit of the vine represents His blood that was shed for us, for many, for the remission of sins. It is noted in the text, for many, for the remission of sins. Thus I think about this blood, and I think about the cleansing that takes place, and I clean from those sins of my life. When we get to thinking about His body and blood this way, I'm persuaded that oftentimes there will come a lump to our throat. There will come something of a terrible feeling within our stomach. It'll not be just quickly swallowed and quickly passed by. It'll be something that is meaningful all the way down, and meaningful as it settles, and meaningful in the thoughts that we have in mind. Jesus bore in His body my sins, and by the blood that He shed, He cleansed me of those sins. And there are some things that I don't realize was a sin. And so I get to thinking about, how many people have I invited to be a part of worship with me? How many people have I invited to know more of what God's Word says about the plan of salvation? When someone has said to me that I'm saved from sin, I've rejoiced, I've accepted the Lord as my Savior, how did you do that? How did you accept the Lord as your Savior? And the description is about a prayer that was said and special statements that were made and how the church received me. And we begin to raise questions, not statements made, not challenges offered. Is that the way that it was done in the New Testament of our Bible? On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, how did they get into the church of the Lord? Were they not added to the church day by day, those that such as should be saved? And who added them to His church? Did man say, I'll vote, I'll accept that person in the membership here? As though it is a social club and a social organization, and we can accept and deny on the basis of the reputation of that individual among the membership here? Or is it the fact that I obey the Lord in repentance and baptism into Christ, as Acts 2 and 38 tells me, and they were saved from their sins and added by the Lord, verse 47, to the church. Thus the Lord added us to his church. No man voted that we were decided to be accepted in that church. The Lord is a member of the church. The Lord did it. When I was taught in Nile that when I became a member of the church of our Lord, the Lord added me not only to the church in that local place, a local congregation, but he added me to the church of the Lord wherever it meets, wherever it gathers. So when I left home and went up to Freed Hardeman, I began to search out when the church gathered and where the church gathered, right off campus right there. They had different times of the services than we had at the Nile congregation. But because they met at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, did that hurt me and keep me back from saying, well, I'll tell you what, we only met at 7 o'clock. We met at 7:30. We got there as the chickens were hatching. We got there later. Is that what we did? No. We accepted the fact that the brethren were meeting together. What time did the Lord say for us to gather? He told us to wait on one another, tarry on one another, partake of the Lord's Supper. But what time was that service to be done? Now, one time in my life, I've been to a wedding at 5 o'clock in the morning. 5 o'clock in the morning was the plan of the family that they wanted to have their wedding, and they were to meet up with a certain plane trip or something, or a train trip or something, as they got out and got up and ended up in the day. They wanted to get married at 5 a.m. Well, if you get married at 5 a.m. to suit up your clothes and everything and go to it, you know you've got to get up around 4 a.m. and wash up and be sure that you're ready and get your clothes out, get your clothes on and everything. And by 5 a.m. you begin to travel so that you can get there. Be sure that you get there by 5 o'clock. You want to begin to travel around 4 a.m. Not be there late. And so there we were. Had a house full of folks to be there at that wedding. And there at 5 a.m. in the morning. Only one ever did that way. Only one ever was a part of that way. But that was the plan. They are good people. He serves as one of the elders of the church nowadays. His good wife is a good care for him. They still married 54 years later. What a wonderful time we have when we talk about the worship of God in spirit and in truth. And in the Lord's Supper, I wanted to concentrate on that this morning because it is representative of the body and the blood of Christ, which is significant to you and me when our sins were the nails that put it in his hands and held him to the cross. And his blood cleansed us from our sins. What a blessing. Quickly, you can go to 1 Corinthians in reference to this matter and read further regarding the worship of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, we read about how we're to be people who worship the Lord as we sing and as we pray and as we preach God's word in words that are understandable, words that can be understood clearly. I trust that these words are understood clearly today and that we'll be better in our worship of God as we eat this bread and drink this fruit of the vine. May God bless you in our studies. Thanks for mentioning this particular song today. We'll sing it this time. And as we do, if you're subject to Jesus' invitation to obey this gospel of Jesus, as the people did on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, in repentance and baptism into Christ, the Lord added them to his church. You can do that today as we stand together. Let us sing.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. There's wonderful power in the blood.
Jesus, your King. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you lift these praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood, in the blood. Power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Last week we had a problem. We had a problem getting on the internet because we didn't have anything to come to the house. The line had been broken. Turned out to be by a transport truck whose trailer had clipped the line on the other side of the road over there, and we didn't know about it. And of course, as they cut the tree that they were working on here, we presumed that something had happened there, but it was 2 or 3 days, maybe a week later, that we didn't have the internet at home and didn't have the way to put the program that we studied today onto the study. And so onto the website for us. But they came out on Friday and they found it. They worked on it, strung a new wire across and away the way and back down to the house and fixed it up for us. And that was good. So if you missed it earlier part of last week, you'll know that it was on there by Friday night. It was on last week, it was on Friday night. This one will be on, Lord willing, by this afternoon. God bless you in every good way. We love you a lot. Hope that you can be here for service tonight at 6 as we finish up our idea of the worship of God today.
Let's turn to number 120. 120. After the song, Brother Robert, Jesus in the Lord's Prayer.
Give me the Bible, start a glance, lead me to the wondrous. On a tempest tossed, no storm can hide that radiant, peaceful beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the guidance of thy word that we may gather together today on this first day of the week, a day of great resurrection of Jesus our Lord, and to remember what he did for us as we partake of this, the bread, and the fruit of the vine in the Lord's Supper. As we do this and remember thy holy word to guide us and direct us, help us to recognize the lamp that it is to our feet and the light that this word is to our pathway. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.